You're listening to B2B Revenue Acceleration, a podcast dedicated to helping software executives stay on the cutting edge of sales and marketing in their industry. Let's get into the show.
Looking to grow your pipeline? Download the free SDR handbook from Operatix for insider tips and expert advice on how to launch, grow, and manage a successful sales development team. Head to operatix.net/SDR-handbook/ to download now.
Hi, welcome to B2B Revenue Acceleration. My name is Katarina Hoch, and I'm here today with Justin Rolt, founder and CMO at Impactable. How are you doing today, Justin?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me on here. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I was curious to have you on the show because I've seen that you guys do a lot of great stuff and share a lot of knowledge and content on LinkedIn. So I thought it was going to be a great idea to bring you on the show to share that with our audience as well. So today we will be talking about the differences between lead generation and demand generation, which I know there is sometimes a little bit of confusion. So it would be great for us to chat about that. But before we actually get started, could you please share a little bit more about yourself and about what you guys do at Impactable?
Of course. So my journey is a little different than I think a lot of the B2B marketers in our space. I actually came from the restaurant industry of all places, discovered LinkedIn, realized the power of LinkedIn. I kind of started a little side hustle as a LinkedIn lead generation freelancer and then into an agency. I actually sold the majority of that agency about a year and a half or 2 years ago. Time is flying really fast. So I'm still a minority owner, founder, CMO of Impactable. We rebranded from Lincoln Learn, which was a LinkedIn lead generation agency, into Impactable, a LinkedIn ads agency, over the last couple of years. And now we have about 180 active LinkedIn ads clients that we manage, which I think makes us one of the larger LinkedIn ads agencies out there. Although for whatever reason, there's not just a ton of LinkedIn ads agencies out there in the world. So maybe it's not that impressive, but we've kind of dug our niche into that space. Yes, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn organic as well for my own personal profile. And overall, I just really love marketing. I fell in love with marketing. I consider myself more of a broad marketer. So I still do all of Impactable's marketing. I still kind of run that. And I really enjoy just keeping my hands in it and learning. So while, yes, we do run a LinkedIn ads agency, I just love the overall marketing conversation in general and just the different aspects of it. So the demand gen kind of talk and the attribution debates, I'm all for it.
Cool. Interesting that you come from the restaurant industry. I think there is so much that B2B marketers can learn from B2C, you know? Yeah, very interesting. Cool. All right. Well, let's go into our debate then. Lead generation versus demand generation. I think often people, not only marketing and sales and everywhere, get a little bit confused about both, and often they are seen as the same, but there is certain differences. So can you help us understand the key differences between lead gen and demand gen, please, Justin?
Yeah, and I think this is somewhat debated as far as what it means, and people are talking about demand gen and dark social and lead gen. To me, it's kind of a difference in philosophy of how you approach marketing. I think historically or traditionally, the way marketing worked was it was really lead gen focused with lead gen forms. And the idea was, you know, you dangle a lead magnet in front of a cold audience. Like that's kind of your initial first touch. You get the contact information and then, you know, you go to work kind of emailing them or calling them or putting them into a long email drip or putting your sales team or SDRs or BDRs on that. So it's this real, like, you're going after them. You got their information, you got their contact information, but then all of the energy is your company kind of following and going after that lead. To me, the biggest difference between that and demand generation is in demand generation, it's more you work on kind of this core branding and positioning and content and thought leadership, and you build this structure in a way, and you do put stuff out there in the world with your ads and with your content, but it's in such a way that it draws the prospects in. You're not chasing them. You're positioning yourself in their sphere as experts in a way that draws them in. And most of your marketing efforts are in a way that they're kind of naturally coming to your website and converting through some of those more natural form fills and booked calls on your calendar versus you spending all this energy and motion going and chasing them. And I think that demand gen can even be done with paid ads. I think there's some people who think that, or I guess they don't consider a paid ad strategy to be, they don't think like inbound marketing can be done with paid ads. Like inbound marketing is just organic content. But I do the same way that organic content brings inbound leads. I use that same strategy in my paid ads to create kind of organic feeling content that draws them in and converts and educates them. So I kind of consider that as well.
Makes sense. And do you think companies need either lead gen or demand gen, or do they need both, or does it depend?
I think it depends. Yeah. In most marketing questions, I feel like it depends. So I do think that the whole lead generation is dead. That's a little dramatic. There's companies who have been running that successfully for decades. It's not going away. And then there's companies that come on and they just, you know, they don't do any lead gen and they just do demand gen and they can work well with that. I like to steal ideas from anyone who has working things in progress. And I've seen really successful lead gen campaigns. So I would say it depends on the company, and both can work in different environments.
Oh, now that makes sense. So in terms of, obviously, you guys are very specialized on the LinkedIn ads industry and, you know everything around that. So how does an ad format or a strategy differ from lead generation and demand generation when it comes to campaigns on LinkedIn? And what best practices would you be able to share with the audience?
Yeah, probably the way that it looks most familiar on LinkedIn, I see it play out, is the initial cold campaign to a cold audience. Typically, the lead gen playbook is, that's going to be a lead generation form. It's going to be most of your money in the LinkedIn ads account is going after this cold audience, and you have these lead magnets and lead gen forms, and you're essentially just hammering your target group with lead gen forms. Because the whole goal of, in their mind, the whole goal of LinkedIn is to get initial contact information, which then someone on their team or a well-crafted email drip is going to do the work of converting. They're not using LinkedIn ads to convert traffic. They're using LinkedIn ads for just top of funnel, and then they ideally have other systems in place. So then even their retargeting is usually just more lead gen forms, people that opened the form and didn't submit, or website visitors who might not have seen LinkedIn ads, they're hitting those people with lead gen forms. So that's usually how that looks in there. And again, like, yeah, if you're visualizing it, they're just using their LinkedIn ads account for top of funnel. They're not, maybe if the asset is really, really good, then maybe it's doing some work in the middle or bottom of the funnel. But typically a lot of these assets are checklists, or, you know, they're not things that someone would pay for, or they're not something that shows super, super deep level expertise that would maybe push the needle. So it's top level. What I would say demand gen kind of looks like inside the LinkedIn ad account is, it's different from the initial touch. When I run the demand gen playbook with LinkedIn ads, my first touch of LinkedIn ads, my only thought is to get in front of ideal prospects and let them know who we are and what we do for that first touch. And I send them to my website, usually either the main landing page or that product page for us. It would be LinkedIn ads page that we send them to, so they can learn more about who we are, what we do. That I just want to make a good, I want to get in front of my target prospect and make a good first impression. I have no desire or intention or expectation of conversion. I just want to make a good first impression. And then I know, unlike the lead gen playbook where they just use LinkedIn for top of funnel and then they convert somewhere else, I use LinkedIn to then nurture and convert those people that showed interest on the cold layer. So my retargeting layer looks way different than just retargeting them with lead gen forms. My retargeting layer looks like video testimonials, case studies, client success stories, how-to videos of me showing people how to optimize the LinkedIn ad account. Things that position us as experts in our space to our prospects. And we basically just use LinkedIn ads to guarantee distribution of those key assets. And one of the things I ask is, if a prospect leaves my website, an ideal prospect, and I know that I can retarget them and probably get 10 to 15 ads in front of them in the next 90 days, what do I want to say to them? What 10 or 15 key assets do I want to make sure that get on their screen that might change how they view us? It might be our top testimonial, a really impressive logo we work with, press release that we're proud of, the next round of funding announcement, like those things that you kind of get in front of them. so that in their mind, it solidifies, you guys know what you're doing. You're the experts. That's how the demand gen playbook kind of runs those cold and retargeting, way different than kind of the one dimensional lead gen approach that they use on LinkedIn.
Got it. And do you feel like people may have a view that demand gen takes longer and lead gen is a bit more short term, or is that debatable?
No, that's fair. So one of the things I would say, being a well-rounded marketer, I consider myself, and running a LinkedIn ads agency, one thing I realize is that LinkedIn ads on the journey of most companies is after mostly they've had transactional relationships with marketing. They started with Google Ads, which is very bottom of the funnel usually. They might have moved into listing sites. They might then go into outbound sales motions, which most of those are very transactional forms of marketing. Ideally, they've invested in SEO. So I would say by the time they get to LinkedIn ads, their only kind of long-term momentum building marketing they've invested in is SEO. And they think LinkedIn's going to be more like everything else transactional. They don't realize that they should view it more like SEO. So yes, it does take more time, but it's also one of those things that builds momentum over time, like SEO, and is worth the investment. It gains momentum. And so that's one of the other things, is if they're thinking it's transactional, they evaluate it differently in the first 90 days. They're evaluating it as if it's a new cold email campaign, when, you know, in the first 90 days of a brand investing in SEO, like, what would you tell them to expect? Probably, you know, not a ton. And so I temper those. But then I would say one of the superpowers of LinkedIn ads is that it can qualify your website traffic and then retarget that. And it can pick up on website traffic from all sources. So one of the other mistakes when they view it as transactional is they view LinkedIn ads in a silo. So what I would say is, if you're a healthy brand who's invested in SEO, you have Google ads, you have listed site traffic on G2 or Clutch or something like that, then you have website traffic already. You could actually just start with LinkedIn retargeting. You don't even have to start with cold. And you can use LinkedIn to say, all of my website traffic, then qualify it by saying my 90-day website traffic from these industries, these company sizes, these geographies, and only people of decision-making status in these job functions, I want to retarget those with this message. So you could, in that sense, you could start with LinkedIn retargeting, and it would probably see an ROI in the first 45 days if you already have those other things in place. So I guess it could also depend if you're relying on LinkedIn more to get more top of funnel and then nurture and convert it, or if you already have a really healthy ecosystem and LinkedIn can qualify and retarget and convert the traffic you already have. Those could be two different scenarios, too. That could feel a lot more transactional, actually.
Yeah, makes sense. And I think also what companies need to bear in mind is it can't be just a standalone thing, right? Because for you to add value to your customers throughout their journey and while you're kind of warming them up and, you know, running your demand gen engine, you need content for that. You need relevant assets. You need things of... You have to deliver value to customers. And I don't know if that's like a mistake that you may see with some customers, that they just think, all right, let's just go and use Impactable and they'll sort all my issues. But then there is a lot more that goes into kind of the background of that, right?
Yeah, and that's definitely something we've seen. It can be a struggle for smaller companies. And I've seen this even when we started the lead gen agency way back, is that, you know, I thought when we started my lead gen agency that, you know, I discovered this really cool vehicle of delivering a message to people through LinkedIn outreach. That was back when it was like all the craze. Now people are more annoyed with it. And it's pretty saturated in a different world. But I had this vehicle. But then people come to me. I was thinking, you know, you tell me who to target and what to say, and then I'll get this message in front of them through, you know, this kind of distribution I had created. But what I realized, yeah, is that a lot of people come to marketing agencies and they don't realize, you know, what the area of specialty is or where the scope ends. And a lot of it is, you know, sometimes it's branding and positioning that needs to be figured out before you come to LinkedIn ads. Maybe it's even your website optimization. You know, you can put all the quality traffic you want onto a landing page or a website, but if it's not optimized and if it's not converting traffic well, you're just pouring water into a leaky bucket. Or, you know, maybe they don't have enough trust and credibility built up, or they don't have these other marketing systems in place, and they want, you know, LinkedIn ads to do a lot of heavy lifting. You know, it needs to be responsible for putting the majority of the cold first touch traffic onto the website and then nurturing and then converting it. And that can take a decent amount of time and investment to get LinkedIn to be a positive ROI down that route versus if you have stuff in place.
Yeah. And I guess it must depend on the audiences as well, right? Because obviously, I mean, you probably target sales and marketing leaders. So do we at Operatics. and we know they are pretty active on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
But then if you go to other industries where you don't have such an active LinkedIn community, then obviously you will have less, you know, not as good results. So it's, I guess, also always evaluating if that is the right strategy and channel for you.
Yeah, that's true. And that's one of the things we try to look at when we have kind of prospects reach out to us is, you know, is LinkedIn the right channel? And I'm usually one of the first people to tell you, like, if LinkedIn is your first paid marketing channel that you're trying to explore, like, usually that's not the greatest idea. Like, I love LinkedIn ads, but it wouldn't be, if I started an agency or if I had a scaling agency, it wouldn't be the first paid channel I invest in. I would want to have other things in place. So we try to, some of what we do is education and kind of steering them, like, you know, maybe you need to get started with Google Ads, or maybe you have more to scale in there and into paid listing sites before you, you know, really start looking at LinkedIn ads, because it is going to be more of a time and SEO kind of mindset that you need to. And so even just getting that right, like, what if we can move them from having a transactional view of LinkedIn to more of an SEO kind of view, they might still want to do it, but now they realize maybe they're, you know, need to get some more stuff in place before they invest in that.
No, I like that. It's being transparent with the client in terms of what they need. Because I think, as you said, especially with smaller clients, they sometimes need a bit of guidance around the strategy. And because I think ads in general, they are still seen a lot as like a quick fix, like you chuck more money in and you get the results out of it.
Yeah.
But it's not always like that, isn't it?
No. Yeah. And paid ads can be tricky. Like, it's, I feel like everyone has this view of paid ads, like Google's the same way, and Facebook and LinkedIn. They think, like, if I get the target and I get my creatives like dialed in, then it's just like infinitely scalable. But that's never the case. There's always, like, you start to scale and you hit these plateaus, or you start to see diminishing returns because you have a smaller target market and you're really saturating whoever is active on LinkedIn. There's a lot that goes into it, just as expectations and, yeah, being transparent. I definitely don't sell LinkedIn as like a wonder drug for companies. It is a really good channel. I really do love it. I believe in it, but it has its quirks.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, let's talk metrics then. What are the metrics that marketers should be tracking to ensure that they're getting maximum ROI on their LinkedIn campaigns? And also, do these metrics differ between lead gen and demand gen campaigns?
Yes, this is a really good question. And one of my biggest frustrations with the lead gen focus is that typically the lead gen submission and the number of leads or MQLs is usually like their guiding light. Like, that's the thing they care about the most, which to me, in my experience, is really, really dangerous. I wouldn't mind the lead gen approach if they simply moved the goalpost and were tracking meetings or, you know, initial purchases, versus leads. Because what I've seen is once you start tracking like booked calls, it changes the conversation so dramatically. Like, you might have campaign A that produces 100 leads and campaign B that produces 50 leads. And if leads was all you're tracking, you would kill campaign B and you would double down on campaign A. But simply tracking call bookings, and then you see campaign A produced 100 leads and 2 booked calls. Campaign B produced 50 leads and 20 booked calls. But if all you're tracking is leads, then inevitably you're just going to end up chasing the lowest priced leads, which are usually the lowest quality. And so it just ends in, like, you know, someone gets mad and they're like, the leads aren't converting. And then we just, instead of saying, hey, let's improve the quality, they say, let's get double the leads now to get the same amount of booked calls, and never ends. So I wouldn't mind the lead gen approach if we simply move the goalpost. Because in my mind, if the question is what KPIs do we track, I want to track as far down the funnel as possible. So one of the things I really push people for is I do put myself in the demand gen marketing bucket, but I fight for attribution. So if there's any action on the website that you want to track, I like to have it redirect and push to a new URL. So you fill out a form on your website, you get pushed to a thank you page that you can track as a conversion in all of your channels. You book a call on Calendly or HubSpot. Both of those and most software allow a URL redirect to push them back to your website to a call booked confirmed page that you can track on all of your, and then even for paying clients, like, our deals are 10, 20, 30, 40K. And we still use payment portals and processing that allow URL redirects and push them to a purchase confirmation page. Or even if you're doing huge enterprise contracts that are a little more complex, part of your onboarding process probably involves an intake form which most of those allow a URL redirect upon confirmation. And you could push them to a welcome page that only paying clients would ever see and track those as conversions. So in my mind, I push for call booking is usually the furthest I can get with most companies because tracking paying clients in ad platforms is hard. In their CRM, they can see it. But my thing is, if we're managing your ad account, we need to be able to see tie that back to a campaign, to an ad, and to have the campaign kind of use that data to learn. So I don't focus on things like CPC or impressions, or I love the idea of in-feed consumption, but those aren't the numbers. They should still be leading eventually to meaningful conversions. So I do push for conversion tracking down the funnel, and I track down as far as I can.
Makes sense. And ultimately, that's what we marketers care about, right? Well, how much revenue, how much pipeline we managed to bring. Now, it's super valuable. And it's funny that the attribution situation, obviously, the more you can track, the better you can attribute. But it's also so true that it normally is like a multi-touch approach, isn't it? I was talking to Jonathan and your team when we engaged with you guys of how my journey was with Impactable. And there was at least 5 to 8 kind of touch points until I actually decided to go and speak to you. And I can't just say it was just the ad or just your LinkedIn or just your newsletter, because I also spoke to someone and they told me about you. And, you know, it's the famous dark social, isn't it? The dark funnel.
I like to call it, the term marketing ecosystem is something, a term I really like, because yes, it changes the mindset of so many things. Like so many things people think of marketing in these little channels, like even cold email blasts or newsletter or a YouTube or a podcast, like they're all these different little silos you have going on. But yeah, in our case, I really do view ours as an ecosystem, and I try as much as possible for each channel to also cross promote other channels. So I use my LinkedIn retargeting ads to push newsletter signups, and my newsletter promotes our YouTube channel a lot, and my YouTube channel promotes the website and my LinkedIn posts. And I even have LinkedIn retargeting ads that push people to organic LinkedIn posts of mine. I'll screenshot my organic posts and I'll actually send them to the actual post. So that is one thing I really...
That's pretty cool. It's quite catchy as well. You really click on it, right?
Yeah. And what's better is I think that there is one that maybe sends them to the website, but most of those send them to the actual post. So they don't feel like they got. Usually it's, you know, that post or knowledge that I was advertising with my ad. I actually send them to the full post. And then the thing I love about that is they go to that post and then they see because the post did well organically and I'm sending paid traffic to the post, it's accumulating more likes and comments, more social proof. And that third party validation, I think, is really big too, especially when you can kind of do it sneakily. Like I'm essentially paying to send them there and then they feel like they're discovering like something. So it's a lot going on.
Yeah, cool. And do you have many clients that use LinkedIn ads for their ABM motions?
Yes, we do. And more and more. So originally, a couple of years ago, when we first started getting into this, it was, you know, smaller companies. The larger companies we work with, the more ABM style approach we are leveraging. And the big difference I would say for those companies that are doing ABM with smaller lists is most of my strategies that are probably like most public out there are for bigger, probably addressable markets. If the target market is small or you're going after ABM, I would say most of those things that I say we do in retargeting, I would just pull those into that initial cold layer and you kind of want to saturate that group. Like if it's a 20,000 person group, I would put those trust and credibility in those assets you want them to see in that layer. Because unlike in a usual campaign where the frequency of a cold campaign is small and then retargeting, it's really high. So you have all these touches. In ABM, the frequency, the average number of ads that a prospect will see is actually pretty high because you're really saturating that group with a decent budget. So you have all these touches that you can use. So just like I have for retargeting, I would move that into the cold layer for the ABM kind of motions and maybe just layer in different campaigns and different types and assets that you want them to see.
Makes sense. And in terms of new features or any kind of emerging trends that are coming up on LinkedIn ads in terms of formats or something that you guys have tried maybe with a few clients that work really well, is there anything that you'd be happy to share with us?
So one of the things I've done for probably over a year, and some of the big brands like Cognizism, or I probably butchered that name, Cognizism. They started doing that screenshot kind of thing that I said where, and it's fun to see other brands take that. So one of the things LinkedIn is actually rolling out is, I forget what it's called, but it's, I think it's like an influencer style ad where you can actually take a personal profile post and boost it and put money behind it from the ad account. So it's not like my, you know, whatever version of that, where I kind of pretend to do that, it would be the actual post from the, from your actual profile that gets sponsored from the ad account. I think that will be really nice because one of the things we have seen on the organic side is that kind of if you have a leadership who is kind of making posts on LinkedIn and grabbing some attention in their space, it can make a big impact. And so kind of, and that's where I got the idea of merging, trying to grab some of that essence and using a screenshot on paid ads. So they're actually coming out with a more formal way to do that, which I think will encourage more people to maybe get their leadership to, you know, be active on LinkedIn, even if it is just to make a handful of posts that they can then sponsor, because then those become like evergreen. So it takes a lot of work to get your actual profile with to grow an engaged following. You might be able to jumpstart that with some paid help. So I think that'll be nice. And the other probably features, LinkedIn hasn't rolled out ad scheduling. So we actually created our own software for LinkedIn ads tools, and we have ad scheduling, which is just a really basic, nice feature to make sure you're not spending too much money in the middle of the night or spending your whole budget before 5 a.m. And a couple other features that I think are kind of relevant would just be, there's an audience tuning kind of feature that we've rolled out where you can see LinkedIn campaign. If you log in, we'll show you all, maybe 10 or 20 of the companies that have interacted with your ads. But if you tap into the API like we have, we can pull the thousands of companies that have interacted or clicked with your ads the most, which could actually be pretty beneficial for like sales teams or, you know, which of your prospects are in your pipeline or the warmest maybe.
Almost like as an intent tool in a way.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Cool. Right. I think we are coming to the end of the show, which, you know, it feels like we could carry on forever here, Justin. Yeah. But we're going to keep it to 30 minutes here. So, but if anybody wants to connect with you and learn a bit more about the company or anything LinkedIn ads related, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Probably the best ways is my LinkedIn profile. If you search for Justin Rowe on LinkedIn, R-O-W-E, usually you'll find me. I think I'm one of the more popular Justin Rowes. Our main website for the LinkedIn ads agency is impactable.com. And I'm also really proud of our YouTube channel. So if you go to YouTube and you search for Impactable, or hopefully if you search for most LinkedIn ads related topics, we should show up. But that YouTube channel is actually really good. There's a whole beginner's playlist. If you're interested in learning about LinkedIn ads, I basically packed a whole paid course worth of how-to videos of getting started on LinkedIn and packaged them under a beginner playlist for free. So I would definitely say if you're curious to learn more about LinkedIn ads, the YouTube channel might be a really good resource for you.
Cool. Awesome. Sounds good. Well, thank you very much again for coming onto the show, and enjoy the rest of your Friday.
Awesome. I appreciate it, and you as well.
Thank you, Justin.
Bye.
You've been listening to B2B Revenue Acceleration. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Looking to grow your pipeline? Download the free SDR handbook from Operatics for insider tips and expert advice on how to launch, grow, and manage a successful sales development team. Head to operatics.net/SDR-handbook/ to download now.